The widespread sales myths of the 20th century have all but faded away. We used to believe that a good salesperson can sell anything to anyone, the whole ice to Eskimos type philosophy. Sales in the 21st century is a delicate balancing beam that we have to constantly train on and learn on, or we will definitely fall off. No one knows this better than our friend Todd Duncan. Todd is a New York Times bestselling author of two books, High Trust Selling and Time Traps. He is also a well-known speaker and sales trainer. Since heroically overcoming a family tragedy, the financial collapse of his company, and a few other bumps in the road, Todd has quickly regained his sales prominence as a sales mentor to folks worldwide. Todd is here today to give us some coaching tips on how to walk that delicate balance beam to sales success. Todd, welcome back to success. Great to have you here today.
Darren, it's an honor to be with you, and really look forward to our time together.
So Todd, studying sales and teaching and mentoring others in sales, you obviously have a good view of the landscape. And the question I get asked a lot is, what's changed about sales with all the social media and all the technologies, and the world is evolving rapidly, of course. What do you see as the most significant changes that you've seen in selling over the past years? In your view, how has the landscape of selling changed? And then I think it's important to also remind everybody what hasn't changed. So what's your view on that?
Well, I think you start with a very clear answer, and that is the fundamentals really haven't changed. It doesn't matter if you're an entrepreneur or small business owner, whether you're in direct selling, real estate, finance, retail, technology, it doesn't matter what genre you're in. The successful sales performance, it's about five things. It's about acquiring customers strategically. It's about optimizing that customer's experience. It's about retaining that customer. It's about cultivating the relationship with that customer. And then finally, it's about multiplying the repeat and referral business from that customer. And sadly, most salespeople still don't understand those five fundamentals, and they spend far too much time acquiring customers and not enough time optimizing that customer's experience, which then opens the gateway to retention and cultivation and multiplication. So what has changed is there's a major shift away from only focusing on what we sell to focusing more on why we sell it. In other words, there's a need to see customers today more than ever as real people, not simply orders or sales. And to have a higher purpose or more of a noble cause in the impact that we are making in our customers' lives can change the game dramatically. In fact, this idea of purposeful selling with a client, a customer, impacts their heart. And ironically, sales go up when you do that. So that's a major shift. A second one is social media has made the customer experience real time, whether it's good or bad. I remember 10 years ago, USA Today reported that a consumer with a negative sales experience could share that with another person. And within 4 years, upwards of 250 people would hear about that experience. Today, with Facebook and Twitter and all the other social apps, networks numbering in the thousands or even tens of thousands will hear about that in 24 hours. So today, you really do have to sell with integrity. The customer experience has to be brilliant, and it's game on in the service arena. Now, the positive side of social is also there too, that with the positive experience, more and more people hear about it, and that helps feed the acquisition funnel. So that's a second one. I think what else has changed is there is a screaming need for value. The salesperson and the company who can package whatever they sell and tie it to enormous value, they're going to differentiate powerfully. They're going to, in fact, eliminate much of their competition.
So the idea of change strikes fear in the hearts of most people. So I want to turn fear into inspiration. You know, change is a good thing in the business world. In fact, there are many reasons why we should embrace change when it comes to our sales process and efforts. Explain why change is crucial, and then what changes a salesperson should make when it comes to being a game changer for them and increasing their results.
Well, I tell people, you know, all the time that if you don't do something differently, you'll be then where you are now, only later. And what I've watched is I've watched careers of salespeople get stalled and stagnated. I've watched them take far too much time to get the kind of results that they could get. I've watched painful existences of rejection and denial and all those things that you know really cause for so many people sales to be hard. Sales should be fun. Sales should be something that you enjoy doing. Sales should be something that when you wake up in the morning, you are game ready. I think in selling, it comes down to maybe five critical things. One of the things that you have to really, really be great at is how do you position your product or service to a prospect in a really powerful and compelling way and use this idea of something unique, this unique selling proposition or value proposition to really draw them in. We're told today that somewhere between 1/10 of a second to 7 seconds is about all you get to have an impression formed. So how good are you at making in that first, you know, call or that first point of impact, how good are you at really creating substantial attraction to you and your product? Another one that I would say change here, you know, too many salespeople try to set too many appointments. They try to be everything to everyone. And so the question is, if I were to change how I set appointments and the effectiveness of how I convert those appointments to meetings and relationships, how fewer people would I need to call on? So a change around productivity of appointment setting, you know, with prospects and decision makers, what's my conversion rate? You know, if I have to talk to four people a day and my conversion rate to an appointment is one, what would happen if I converted two? And, you know, instead of taking it from four to eight, which would double my time consumption, I double my effectiveness in setting the appointment. Another is what we call the high trust interview. And how good are you at really learning everything important to a prospect before you sell them or pitch them or present your product or service? And we know that one of the things you want to measure is trust. So if somebody could trust you at level 10, and you close, you're going to hear yes more often. If they don't trust you at level 10, you're going to get resistance and objections, and you're not going to close as many, which means then you have to keep seeing more people. So that would be a third thing. A fourth, and this is huge, is how good are you at closing the sale and cementing the relationship? What's your conversion rate to a yes at the end of an appointment? And do you, without exception, establish a next action with that customer for more business or follow through? And then finally, the biggest change that I see salespeople really needing to make is a change in productivity. You know, and the question is, are you spending at least, you know, 70, 80% of your day actively selling to new clients? And or to the clients you've already served who you want to generate more repeat and referral business. If salespeople got really good at those five things, Darren, off the charts performance, it would change their life and their clients' life forever.
So Todd, you've talked about five great ideas of things that salespeople should do. I want to talk about some things that they shouldn't do, things that end up killing their sales without them maybe even knowing it. What would you say are the top five things that salespeople do to kill their own sale and how they can now, based on your advice, go about avoiding that?
Well, clearly there are five that just kind of stand out for me and all the research we've done and all the years we've spent doing this. Number one is posing. And posing is defined as trying to sell instead of training to sell. And so the way you overcome posing, instead of just going out and winging it and giving your best effort and see what happens, what you do is you train. You train rigorously. You overtrain to be really good at selling. And that can be a decision where you spend a half an hour a day or an hour a day just making sure you're learning how to do the art and the science of the sale. So that'd be one. A second one that kills the sale is gambling. And gambling is defined as making unplanned calls on unknown customers. And so the way that you avoid that is you get into a very clear targeting plan. And doing business with the wrong prospect can kill your sales business. If you have multiple wrong prospects because you haven't been focused and targeted, then your sales career, your sales call, your sales experience, it's all negative. Number three is skimming. And this is a big one, staying shallow instead of going deep. And so one of the ways to increase sales productivity and one of the ways to get more people to say yes and to have less resistance and objections is to go deeper in your conversations. If you slow down the conversation, you'll speed up the relationship. And so we always encourage people to not stay on the surface because that produces superficial results. Instead, go deep, which produces extraordinary results because you connect with the person, and then once you connect, converting is easier. Stalling, looking for new customers instead of following up with your current ones. We do this magnificent job. I mean, every business needs an acquisition intake valve of potential clients, right? And we do so much to get them, and then all of a sudden, we don't do as much to keep them. And so stalling is this constant acquisition mindset instead of retention. And that's important. And then finally, stagnating. Just the idea that you lose your edge by neglecting your growth. And, you know, what's your learning rhythm? What are you doing every day to own your trade? And I think Earl Nightingale said that if you study your trade for an hour a day for 3 years, you know, you'll be in the top 10% of your competition. And so those are five that come to mind fairly quickly.
So Todd, I have to ask you to address one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to selling. I see so many people in sales resort to begging as a method of selling to try to engage with a client. I can't believe they're doing it. So tell us what leads people to begging and your suggestions that you would offer about how to avoid getting themselves in that position altogether.
It's a great question. You know, Darren, a needy salesperson is generally not needed. You know, it's just, it's crazy. And so the mindset of begging, just that in itself kills the sale. And what begging is it's essentially seeking your customer's business before earning your customer's trust. And, you know, early in my sales career, I remember some of the training that I went through, and the guy made a big point. He said, just ask for the business. Just ask for the business. Just ask for the business. And, you know, I agree that asking for the business is a strategy. But if you're asking and you're not earning, it's begging. And I started realizing that, you know, I could ask for the business all day long, but if I haven't earned their trust, they're not going to say yes. And so begging, if you unpack it, it's systemic to a bigger issue. And it comes down to, I think, two things essentially that salespeople, business owners, entrepreneurs who employ them have to get their head around. So number one, without question, is lack of a predictable sales process. When I got into selling professionally, I remember that I spent 13 weeks learning what a predictable sales process was. And since then have done research about every other year for 22 years on what is that sales process, how's it changed, and how good are people at it. When I perfected that process, my income went up 400% in the first month just by learning a process. Having taught millions of people this process now, it's amazing to see how much money's left on the table because people don't know what they're doing. So it comes down to 8 steps. If you know them and you execute them, you don't have to beg. So the 8 steps to a sales call, and I'll go through them fairly quickly. One is preparation. 47% of salespeople do that well. 1 out of 2 don't. Positioning is when you get to a client's place of business and you're going to start your first call off, how well are you at setting the value hook? 34% are good, 66% are not. Every salesperson on the planet has been taught number 3, discovery, which is asking questions. So you wouldn't be surprised that 51%, it's the highest number positive of people that do it, but it's still only half of the sales universe do a pretty good job at asking questions. The 4th is called building trust, and it's taking the questions you learn in step 3 and then deepening your understanding, awareness, and the performance optics that the client wants from you in those need areas. So it's taking one idea and then unpacking it and go deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is scary. 1 out of 3 do that well. And then we start getting to kind of the shift, and we start knowing that we have to present, and we have to present our solutions well. They have to be cogent. They have to be value-based. They have to hook the client in. And the research says only 26% of salespeople worldwide do that well. Then we get to securing. Securing is the one step before closing the sale. Only 25% do that well. Closing the sale, only 24% do that well. And then this is going to blow your mind. The number one thing that salespeople miss out on, and they have to understand that if they do this well, they'll never have to beg, is what am I doing with this client next? What is the next action? What's the debrief from that meeting? What do we do from here? And only 15% do that well. So clearly, to avoid begging, you got to know what you're doing. You got to, you know, it's not a mechanical, it's not stainless steel, but it is a series of things that you have to go through and be good at. Otherwise, you will default to begging and asking for the business prematurely. So that's number one. Number two is lack of value. So the reason why people beg is because they're interested in just closing the sale. It's the wrong focus, Darren. The sale, getting the order, whatever it is a byproduct of the value and trust you show and create. If you showcase real value and create trust, you flip the script and the customer actually will beg to do business with you. That is the paradox of begging.
I could hear people going, oh my God, I want to get those 8 steps, but I'm driving or I'm traveling. I'm walking through an airport right now while I listen to this great audio. So how about this, Todd? We'll create a document with the 8 steps on it, and then I'll post it on the Success platform during the month that this issue is released. And then everybody will have a ready, handy document to refer back to the 8 steps. Fair enough?
Awesome. Yep.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. I just want to be sure, Todd, that we're dragging everybody along with us here in this discussion. Anybody that might be thinking, you know, this doesn't really apply to my type of sales, whether it be B2C, B2B, what have you. So one thing that is the epicenter, no matter who you are, what you sell, what industry you're in, is that ultimately successful sales outcomes come from great habits. So give us some insight to some of the habits that successful salespeople deploy daily that can accelerate everybody's sales success. How would you boil down those key habits?
Well, again, with the dynamics and the landscape being kind of wide and different for different sales situations, I'll keep it pretty simple. The key is that if you want to make more money, you have to do more of what makes you money. And I know that sounds ultra simplistic, but in our research, it's fairly scary that any person who's listening to this that has a product or a service that you're going to sell where you have to find customers and you've got to hunt and you've got to get the customers in, we don't do enough of the right things. So the key is pretty straightforward. So number one, I would say, is that a habit is successful salespeople sell most of the day. So one of the goals that anybody would have is over time, a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years, move the needle on how much time you're actually selling. There is a statistic out that we get, and we do this about every 24 months from Proudfoot Consulting, and this study is staggering. It's analyzing salespeople and showing, Darren, that on average, salespeople spend only 1/5 of their day actively selling, prospecting, or closing sales. So the entrepreneur, the owner, the individual salesperson, the more time you spend selling, and then to earlier points, the better you are at the sale, the more money you'll make. So that's number one. Number two, huge habit, top salespeople do not do non-income producing stuff. They automate it. They delegate it to assistants or team structures to free up their time so they can actually sell. So that would be a second habit of highly effective salespeople. A third is they have tamed and they manage technology. They don't let email interrupt them. They don't let general interruptions get in the way. They don't schedule meetings that aren't productive. These three things alone are stifling productivity globally. According to one set of research data, unproductive meetings just in the U.S. cost U.S. businesses $60 billion a year in revenue. So tame the technology, and then that gives you more time to sell. Another one is that they don't do business with people that are high maintenance. They don't do business with people they don't like. Their philosophy is life's too short to do business with people I don't like. So they fire those clients, or better yet, using one of your terms, they deselect them in advance so that they never have to fire them. Number five is there is a huge effort placed on taking care of the clients that already love them and spending time with those people that, you know, they've made a sale to, or that are constant clients. They're really nurturing the retention and cultivation piece rather than simply looking for new clients. By far, following up is another habit. One of the big takeaways, and we see it all the time, a difference maker in going from average sales to high performance sales is I'm really good at follow up. I have a system. And top producing salespeople realize that if I don't follow up with them, they're not going to follow through with me. So those are six things that I think are daily habits. And I would wrap all of that with a seventh habit, and that is learn and practice, learn and practice, learn and practice. We would not want a heart surgeon that hasn't practiced to do heart surgery on us, and salespeople need to understand you're toying with the heart of your client. You have to be good.
So Todd, I'm going to use you to sell everybody listening here. Use your great sales skills to sell everybody listening here, because you too sell sales training. And I believe that the fastest and least expensive path to multiplying revenue and profits is sales training. Explain to everybody listening why sales training is so important for anyone, but especially for an entrepreneur starting a business. Why is sales training a must for every member of any team or of any organization?
First of all, everybody sells in an organization, and selling the brand, selling the product, we're all doing it one way or another all day long. I mean, sales sells, customer service sells, marketing sells, advertising sells, fulfillment sells, operations sells, IT sells, everybody sells. So the effectiveness of those combined efforts should yield a brilliant customer experience, which then creates this kind of ultimate productivity output, because the happy customer is now your sales force. So if I'm an entrepreneur and I own a company, I want everybody on my team to realize that every single customer we impact is a salesperson for us going further. And with social media today, that's powerful. So let me tell a quick story. There's a guy named Keith Davidson. He's an entrepreneur in Newport Beach, where I live. He founded a restaurant called Mama D's Italian Kitchen, and they blow the doors off business as usual. But to your question and my point, it's packed every night of the week. Their service and food quality is so legendary that if you're not there by like 5:30, you have to wait 45 minutes. He believes that everybody in the organization sells. So they have perfected the wait for a table. So they make waiting for a table not only painless, but delightful. So we get there the first time. There's a 30-minute wait for the table. So we go outside to the curbside patio, hot day, stood out there questioning if we should stay or not, when all of a sudden one of the guys comes out. He's got these piping hot, dripping with butter and garlic rolls that are to be given to people waiting for a table. So all of a sudden, it seemed less painful, free appetizers, cool. So now all the rolls are gone, and the guy says, "Would you like something to drink?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love a cold beer." To which he said, "How cold would you like it?" I don't know if you've ever been asked that question, Darren, but how cold would you like it? And I said, "I'd like it really cold." So in less than 5 minutes, he brings out a beer, and it's in its own individual custom ice bucket. That's cold. It was just an indicator of how everybody is selling. So then once we're seated and we start reading the menu, the server goes, "Would you like to sample our sausage of the day?" He's selling. So for the customer, that means more free snacks, and they're selling one of their main dishes. Then the chef comes over at the end of the meal and wants to make sure we're happy. And then he recommends next time we try the chicken parmesan. The chef was selling. Then on the way out, the hostess asked if she could make a reservation for our next visit. She was selling. So everybody in the organization sells, but they have to be trained to sell. So the reason why sales training is so important to the entrepreneur, it's really twofold. First, if the organization has a dialed-in sales culture, it accelerates results and it builds cash flow faster. Every entrepreneur on the planet would want to maximize the velocity of his or her cash flow. Second, it'll free up the entrepreneur and give, you know, him or her more time to execute the vision of the brand, continue to focus on innovation and the things that will really make the company relevant in the future. If the culture is around selling and everybody does it, the business owner wins big, the customers win big, and obviously everybody on the team wins big.
Fantastic. Well, Todd, just one last question for you today to end up this fantastic discussion. We've covered a lot of ground in our sales training from you today. Bring it all together by offering us a sales success mantra or a thought or a philosophy that will drive us forward even when we hit the proverbial wall that we are bound to encounter. What do you want us to remember as we march forward going from here?
Well, I would love everybody to just get fired up about selling. I mean, the way that I treat customers is I want to do business with you. I want to love on you. I want to do whatever it takes to figure out a way to get you to say yes and be happy that you did. And so de-emphasize the need to sell. Emphasize the desire to serve. And if you do that, it changes everything. I would wake up as a salesperson just to make sure I had the right mindset. And I would say these words there: never give up, get better. Never lower your standards, improve your skills. Never say I can't, always ask how I can. Never be a victim, always claim a victory. Never compare yourself to others, only compare yourself to your best. And finally, in the world of selling, never look down, always look up. And if you follow that kind of thinking, success will follow you.
Fantastic. Well, Todd Duncan, thank you so much for being with us here at Success. Beautiful job. And we enjoyed spending this time and learning the great insights on how we can improve our sales success going forward in 2015. Thanks so much for being with us, Todd.
Awesome, Darren. Thanks for the chance. Appreciate it.